This morning we read from the letter to the Thessalonians. For you yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our reception among you was not without effect. Rather, after we had suffered and been insolently treated, as you know, in Philippi, we drew courage through our God to speak to you the gospel of God with much struggle. Our exhortation was not from delusion or impure motives, nor did it work through deception. But as we were judged worthy by God to be entrusted with the gospel, that is how we speak, not as trying to please human beings, but rather God, who judges our hearts. Nor indeed did we ever appear with flattering speech, as you know, or with a pretext for greed, God is witness. Nor did we seek praise from human beings, either from you or from others, although we were able to impose our weight as apostles of Christ. Rather, we were gentle among you, as a nursing mother cares for her children. With such affection for you, we were determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our very selves as well. So dearly beloved had you become to us. Our affirmation of faith is in your bulletin. It sheds a new light on some somewhat familiar words. Let's join together in our affirmation. I believe in God, the Father, Mother, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only child, our sovereign, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. Having descended to the dead, and having risen on the third day, Christ descended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, Mother, and from there will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Our focus scripture for the morning is from the book of Deuteronomy, the 34th chapter. It's the story, at the end of the story of Israel wandering through the wilderness, and it's the end of Moses also. Please pay close attention as we share this story from the message this morning. Moses climbed from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, the peak of Pisgah facing Jericho. God showed him all the land from Gilead to Dan, all Naphtali, Ephraim, and Manasseh, all Judah reaching to the Mediterranean Sea, the Negev, and the plains which encircle Jericho, city of palms, as far south as Zoar. Then and there God said to him, "This is the land I promised to your ancestors, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, with the words, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I've let you see it with your own eyes. There it is. But you're not going to go in." Moses died there in the land of Moab. Moses, the servant of God, just as God said. God buried Moses in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. No one knows his burial site to this very day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyesight was sharp. He still walked with a spring in his step. The people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. And then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses came to an end. Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. The people of Israel listened obediently to him and did the same as when God had commanded Moses. No prophet has risen since in all Israel like Moses, whom God knew face to face. Never since has there been anything like the signs and miracle wonders that God sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh, to all his servants, and to all his land. Nothing to compare with that all-powerful hand of his and all the great and terrible things Moses did as every eye in Israel watched. These are the words of our faith. Thanks be to God. I think Moses got cheated. Here God had called Moses to lead the people from slavery in Egypt out into the wilderness to the promised land. Moses did that. Moses taught the people God's law. Went up on the mountain, so the story goes, to bring that law down to the people. Moses interceded on behalf of the people when God was not too pleased with their behavior. Talked God out of destroying them one time and being angry with them a couple other times. Moses put in blood, sweat, tears, and he doesn't get to go into the promised land. What a raw deal. What is it with God? Why didn't God let Moses go into the promised land? Well, Moses was told three times in this story, if you go back earlier in the book of Deuteronomy, that was going to happen, that he was going to see it, but he was going to die before he got there. Gave a reason a couple times. This last time doesn't even give a reason. God just said, nope, you're not going in, Moses. And Moses dies. And that's the point of the story, right? I don't think so. Yes, this is the end of an era for Israel. But there's something going on here besides just telling the story of Moses' death. There's something a little bit below the surface that because Moses dies, Moses' death overshadows this. What's going on in this story, at this point in the story of Israel, is a reformation. A reformation of the people of Israel, a reshaping, a reconstituting, a reforming. Moses dies, Joshua takes over, and the people step into the land that was promised them. They are reformed, reshaped from a people wandering in the wilderness towards the promised land to a people entering into the land that God had promised them. They are reformed into a people, a nation, if you will, from a wandering band. That's a reformation, a change in their direction. This is the Sunday that we celebrate the Reformation, the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Doesn't seem like much of a celebration, does it? I mean, yes, we've talked about it several times, brought it up in discussion, announced it, that this is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. It's a big deal, but we aren't having a party. You really wouldn't know from this morning, other than the liturgical color has changed to red for today. That's the color of the Reformation in the liturgy. But celebrate would be a bit of a stretch, wouldn't it, is what we're doing today? No boisterous party, no celebratory dinner. Actually, observe would be a better term. We are observing the 500th anniversary of the Reformation today. Yes, it's important. It began Martin Luther's Reformation when he nailed the 95 Theses to the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany. Began a reshaping, a reforming, a reconstituting of the church from what it had been to what it would become. And that's important. But it's okay that we don't celebrate in a big way, because if one thinks about it, reformations have been happening since the beginning of time. From Genesis 1, the story of creation, the first story of creation, God has been reforming the world. God was the first reformer, not Martin Luther. God formed the world out of a ball of nothingness, of chaos, reformed it into a created order. God reformed again and again with the help of others, of God's people. The three scriptures that we've shared in worship this morning all feature a reformer. Moses was a reformer. Reformed Israel from slaves to a people. A wandering people, yes, but a new people, free from the bonds of slavery, from the oppression that that brought to them. Reformed them into a nation to follow and obey God. Well, that didn't work all the time, but that was the purpose. The letter that David read, a piece of the letter from Thessalonians, Paul. Paul was a reformer. The big argument at the time of Paul's writings was that you had to follow the law to be a Christian. Gentiles, Jewish Christians were okay. They followed the Jewish laws. Gentiles had to do the same. Paul reformed, began that reformation in the early Christian church. Reformed the church from a law following people, adhering to the law strictly, to a time and a realization, according to Paul, that the church was to welcome everybody, Jews and Gentiles alike. And of course, Jesus. Jesus was a reformer too. That should be obvious, shouldn't it? All the ways that he reformed his community and his people, the things that he taught, the things that he did, reshaped, reformed, reconstituted them as the church moved forward. Yes, Luther was a reformer too. So was Calvin, so was Zwingli. All reformers in the church, and there are many more yet today. I was at the Perky Parrot on Tuesday, as I usually am, having coffee, and one of my regular folk, I brought that up. Said, you know, this is Reformation Sunday coming up, and he looked at me and he said, boy, he said, Luther sure caused a lot of trouble, didn't he? Yes, he did. Reformers usually do. They cause some pain as they introduce new thoughts, new ideas, because we get stuck with the old things, the things that we're used to, the beliefs that we've clung to, the ways that we do things. If you wanted to give a simple title to a reform, if you want to define a reform, you could just say change. Reform is change, and it's not easy, and sometimes that change steps backwards, puts us back a little bit, but reformation always, always moves forward, not quickly, but over time, and it takes patience and hard work to be a reformer and to be part of the Reformation. Reformation is necessary for the world to move forward. Something that has to be done as we reach out, as the church reaches out, as the world reaches out and changes, to bring the good news, proclaim the good news to new folk who maybe haven't heard it before or have forgotten about it, in ways that speak to them, in word and in practice. Yes, it's the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Actually, this coming Tuesday is Reformation Day. It's important to know, to remember that it's not the end of the Reformation, but just an anniversary. We are still in the Reformation. We are still part of the Reformation. Because the Reformation is never over. It's continuous. It goes on and on. Sometimes two steps forward, one step back, but it continues to go forward. Reformation is not an event, but it's a process. And we're all part of it. I still think Moses got cheated. He didn't get to see the final results, to experience that. He didn't get to step into the promised land. He played his part in the reformation of God's people that he was called to play. But neither do we get to see the results of the reformation that we are in and the part that we play in it. We play our part. We hand it off. Pass it on, if you will, to the next generation of reformers. And we can do so with joy and in celebration, trusting in God and guided by God as the Reformation continues. For God is the master reformer. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.